The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. As a cancer survivor, let me offer you a little piece of advice. Don't get cancer. If you decide to be a rebel and get cancer anyway, you might be wondering what you can expect on your cancer journey. Well, in this series, I will be breaking down what is fact and what is fiction when it comes to the typical cancer experience. This is Cancer Culture. I just wanted to give a little warning at the top of this episode. There's a lot of talk of human excrement and blood and tubes going into bodies. So if these are all things that unsettle you or you are adverse to, I would recommend listening to this episode with a little bit of caution. I would also like to apologize for Brad's other students, if they listen to this. You're gonna get to know his body a lot more than you ever wanted to. Welcome to my club. Listen, there's a point where we just have to realize that our bodies are just sacks of flesh and cells, and that's kind of what this whole series, you know, more or less is about. It's what this whole series is tiptoeing around. We're all just a big mass of flesh and blood, and listen, you got to hear about my boobs. Now you get to hear about Brad's prostate, okay? this is just the nature of this series. That might work. It should be on your phone already. I was able to find it the last time. Yeah. So, after about a half an hour of technical issues, we were finally able to get the interview going. Did you press the red button? Okay, yeah, then we're good! Like I had mentioned last week, Brad was recently in the hospital. I'll let him explain a little bit about what happened to him, as we don't really know.
Well, yeah, it was a buddy of mine, a guy we live in the dorms with. His wife was just diagnosed with breast cancer. He's all freaked out. So we met and for lunch and, you know, I had a couple beers because he was all freaked out. And then I was walking to my car. I put my doggy bag in the passenger side. I was walking around to get to the driver's side. And that's the last thing I remember. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, I woke up in the emergency room.
There's security footage, but he has yet to review it. And all we know is that he ended up with a fractured skull and some brain bleeds. So overall, I'm extremely grateful for him to have been able to talk to me at all. All right. It's only taken a half an hour, but we're finally getting this done.
Well, it's valuable info.
Yeah. So, let me introduce you again.
Oh, please, go ahead.
Yeah. This is Brad Van Alstine, my academic advisor, fellow cancer survivor. When I was first diagnosed with cancer, we related a lot with our different cancer journeys because we were both diagnosed with a cancer that's very uncommon for people of our age. Brad, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me.
So professional already.
You're right. It's like a regular radio show.
Yeah. So what kind of cancer did you have?
Prostate.
And do you have a family history of prostate cancer?
Nope.
What made you schedule that initial appointment to get?
My primary care physician just basically, you know, wanted to give me all of the, you know, labs a person would get. And, you know, it just so happened that, you know, prostate was one of them. I mean, they never expected to find anything, but they just, you know, kind of, because they gave it, it was like part of, like, the battery of tests. Mm. You know? Yeah.
So then they found it from there?
Yep.
And then after that, what kind of treatment did they give you?
Well, they did the test like 3 different times because they figured there was no way that somebody my age would have a number that high. Mm-hmm. And then once it kept coming up higher and higher, they sent me to a urologist, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like somebody who specialized in this in San Francisco, to kind of go over my labs with me and to schedule a biopsy. Because the numbers were so high, I mean, normally they wouldn't have done a biopsy, but since the numbers were so high, they were kind of freaked out.
So can I ask how they did the tests? Because how did they do the initial tests and then, the biopsy?
The initial tests were just like blood and urine most part. Okay. Mm. But the biopsy was far worse. You don't even get put to sleep, but essentially they put this tube that has like a camera as well as like kind of this bitey thing, and they shove it up your colon, mm-hmm. and take pictures in chunks out of your colon, or not your colon, but your prostate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very pleasant.
Yeah. 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 Because, for mine, it was just, it was like this little, it was kind of like a price tag gun.
Yes.
Or that's how I.
Yeah. My price tag gun was at the end of a long tube.
Oh. Yeah, mine was pretty small.
Yeah.
And yeah,
they lucky you. Lucky yeah. you.
No, I got to lay down for it, too. So that was
my. Well, I got to lay down, too, but it wasn't any consolation.
I got off pretty easy, all things considered, because they were saying that they might have to do, there's a different type of biopsy, I forget the name of it, but it's where you're on, where your stomach down on a table, and there's essentially like a hole for your breast to go through, and they get it that way. Somehow I think it's the leverage or something.
Blah.
Makes it better.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because for mine anyway, it was kind of nice because my breast was numb and they were punching holes in it.
Blah.
And I had my mask on because this was all during COVID times, so I didn't have any periphery from my nose down, so I could just look at the ceiling.
That's you're lucky.
Yeah.
That is good.
Seventh heaven, essentially.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I mean, as far as good can go, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then after that, like, what was the span of time between the biopsy and then the operation?
Well, they're supposed to. I think they're supposed to wait like, I think it was 10 weeks between the two. Mm-hmm. But because my numbers were so high, they rushed in like 6 months, mm-hmm. which ended up in complications, but they couldn't take any chances because my numbers were so high.
6 months or 6 weeks?
6 weeks. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Because you initially said 10 weeks.
I know. Sorry about that. Yeah. 10 weeks, 6 months. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, insurance. What are you going to do? Yeah.
So the actual operation, did they just remove it, or?
They removed my entire prostate.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. I got I got my mind scooped out. Not my prostate, but my boob scooped out.
Brutal when you think about it, you know?
Yeah. I think they kind of do it so fast that you don't have time to think about it.
Well, they don't have time to think about it, but you and I were probably pretty focused.
Yeah, because I know for me, during the weeks where I was waiting for the results of the biopsy, I was literally just walking around thinking like, they told me it was a 3% chance that it's actually breast cancer. There's no way. were you going through a similar thing, or did your brain jump to...
I thought it was pointless. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to sit there and have a tube, you know, shoved up because I thought there was like no way in the world I had cancer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, because, I know for me, the end result wasn't what I expected in some weird way. Because I remember getting out of surgery and they bandage your chest in such a way that it looks like there's something there. And then, the first time I get all my bandages off and I look down and there's not anything.
Ugh!
It was
brutal.
Yeah, I nearly fainted. It was really surprising because I, you know, in retrospect, I don't know what I expected because that's the whole that's the whole thing is that they take the breast out. But I guess it's just kind of your brain in denial.
Like, oh,
I
feel totally. Like if,
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, totally. I mean, you're braver than I am. The whole time I went through it with the tubes and the stitches and all that crap, I never once looked down. Even when I was in the shower, I wouldn't look down.
Mm. Because was there anything that you would have been able to see? Or?
Yeah, tons of tubes.
Oh, well.
Yeah, tubes, catheters, yeah, you name it. Yeah.
How long were the tubes in?
What's that?
How long were all those tubes in?
Geez, probably about, 3 months, I would say. Yeah. I'm guessing. I mean, I blacked the whole thing out, but probably 3 months. I'm guessing.
Yeah, you try to.
Ugh. It's awful.
Did you have to drain your tubes?
Yes. Oh. Yes, I did.
Did you have to do that yourself, or did you get somebody else to do it?
I had some help, but it didn't go very well.
Oh,
because
the
people helping me passed out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was so gross.
Who were the people?
Nurses and doctors.
They were passing out?
The nurses were, yeah.
Oh, really? Were they new?
What's that?
Do you know if they were new?
I have no clue. I didn't ask them. I assume that... I don't think they were new. They seem pretty old. I just assumed that what they saw was so grotesque that they couldn't handle it. And so I didn't ask any questions.
I would think that's kind of a badge of honor.
I would think so. Yeah.
A seasoned nurse pass out?
What's that?
Making a seasoned nurse pass out?
Yeah, that was more than I needed at the time, believe me.
Were you in the hospital the whole time, or was it in and out?
I was home.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't supposed to be in and out, but I couldn't stand being in the hospital.
Yeah.
So they gave me all these ridiculous physical fitness tests to pass that they figured I wouldn't pass. But I was so desperate to get back home, I passed them all, so they cut me loose.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because about how long are you supposed to stay in the hospital for that kind of procedure?
Oh, for that thing, you could be there for 2 or 3 months.
Oh.
And I got out after, 2 weeks.
Oh. And did you end up being okay after that?
No. I ended up going back to the hospital twice.
Oh, gosh. May I ask what happened those two times, or?
Sure. Let's see. The first time, they had, cleared me to be home. And they didn't know there was a hole in my bladder. So every time I would pee, I would have these terrible pains, like a kidney stone, where I just hit the ground and fall down on my knees. So they still sent me back in. And again, another catheter and kept me for 3 or 4 days because they couldn't figure out what was going on. Let me go home again. The same thing happened. So I was back and forth all the time because I would go to the bathroom and, pass out from the pain.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So for the hold, did they have to operate on that?
No, they couldn't.
Ah.
Yeah, they sent, so after all this insertion, The last part was they sent a camera, not up my butt, but into another appendage.
Oh, yeah.
That had yet to be scarred, to see what was going on, and that's how they figured it out.
Wow.
Yay!
So, overall, I'm extremely grateful for him to have been able to talk to me at all. Unlike John Green.